We continue here, Rabbeinu Zal, the Shvachei Haran. We are still on the point where Rabbeinu Zal was in his early childhood, a youth, and Rabbeinu Zal's rise, meteoric rise, to the highest level that any human being could ever reach. According to those who understand, Rabbeinu Zal reached above the level of Yechidah of Keser. We know about Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chayi Yechidah is higher, the highest of the high. Rabbeinu Zal went above that and said he will not stop because there is infinite heights yet to be reached. Now all this came through a tremendous struggle on Rabbeinu Zal's part, because, as we mentioned, Rabbeinu Zal was not born with any special talents. He was not born with a sharp mind. He was not born with innate inner greatness. He worked, he struggled, he fought to achieve everything that he did. In learning, as we mentioned, he found it difficult to grasp the meaning of the words of the Mishnah, of the Gemara, and for this he poured out his heart. He spent rivers of tears crying to Hashem to aid him in understanding the secrets of the Torah, and not just the secrets later on, but even the simple translation, the understanding and depth of the meaning of the words of the Gemara. And then on to deeper studies, to the Zohar Kodesh, Ketuvei Arizal, and so on. Now, that was as far as learning is concerned, as far as becoming pure, purifying himself. Rabbeinu Zal said that the one thing that stands between, there is a block. A person's effort should be to strive to bring his soul close to Hashem and, in a sense, to literally merge with the spirit of Hashem, because that's where the soul originally came from. Now, there is a block between a person's soul and the spiritual heavenly existence of the Shekhinah. That block is the physical, the person's body. If a person can, through a struggle on his part, through sacrifice, through abstention, to purify his body to the point where the body and soul become one, then it is much simpler for him to literally become part of the Shekhinah. How does a person purify his body, physical flesh and blood, to become spiritual? This is done by depriving oneself of any type of physical pleasure. Just as the neshama, the soul, does not eat, the neshama does not sleep, the neshama does not have any physical type of, does not imbibe anything physically, so too, the body must reach that point. Of course, the body gets to that point only when one dies. During a person's lifetime, he must eat, he must sleep, he must perform physical duties, physical acts, but these can be done in such a sacred manner, just with the same holiness that the neshama does its spiritual duties to Hashem. The Rabbeinu Zal worked on purifying the body first by abstaining from food. He would fast as much as is physically possible and still retain the life within him. The person fasts for too long a period, of course, he dies. Rabbeinu Zal fasted for many days on end, and especially he fasted from Shabbos to Shabbos. This means that he would eat Friday evening for Kiddush, and then he would eat during Shabbos, Shalashudas, Maitzoi Shabbos after Havdalah, he would begin his fast. And he would literally fast without eating or drinking anything whatsoever for 6 days until the Kiddush of the next Friday night. This was done many times for weeks in succession. Rabbeinu Zal once fasted for 18 weeks in 1 year. 18 weeks from Shabbos to Shabbos in one single year. We know, in fact, today is just the day after Yom Kippur. We know how difficult it is to fast one day, one single day. And that one day was not so hard because we didn't go to sleep at night fasting either. Fasting at a day and then not eating at night, going to sleep, getting up in the morning, and then fasting again, continuing the fast, and so on. This is something that we really cannot understand how difficult it is unless we experience it. And this, of course, does not mean that the Rabbeinu Zalf just fasted and rested. During the week that he fasted, during those days, he did not spend time resting or sleeping. From morning until night, he worked with physical effort in davening, crying out to Hashem, bent his mind to the study of Torah, did not waste one second of his time, and devoted his time to serving Hashem, Torah, Tefillah, and Mitzvahs. Very little time was spent on sleep because it was too precious a time. As the Gemara says, the Tzaddikim understand that you may borrow the time for sleep. You don't sleep now. Instead of sleeping 6 hours a night, you sleep 2 hours a night. You mark down on your diary that you have borrowed 4 hours. You owe yourself 4 hours of sleep. Next night the same. And as the years go by, you total up these hours and you say, I shall repay this. When I get to the grave, I will sleep back all the hours that I missed. Meanwhile, it's too precious a time to waste on sleep. This is what the Rabbeinu Zalf did. And with this, of course, the more one fasts, the purer the body becomes, the more spiritual it becomes. But it is extremely difficult. As long as the person is alive, he has to eat. And it is told, Nosson Zal tells about Rabbeinu Zal's experiences. Remember, this was during his youth. One time he fasted, and it was about the third or fourth day, and he was so weak that blood started to pour from his ears, his eyes, his nose, and mouth. And he had a Mishamish Bakredish, one who served him, one who understood how great Rabbeinu Zal was, and who was sworn to secrecy. He was sworn not to reveal to any person at all that Rabbeinu Zalf was fasting. Because Rabbeinu Zalf kept everything he did a secret from everyone else. This way he could succeed in the mitzvahs he was doing. However, when the man saw, this Mishamish saw the blood coming from Rabbeinu Zalf, he started to become panicky and wanted to raise an alarm. Rabbeinu Zalf tried to stop him, but it seemed impossible. Finally, Rabbeinu Zalf used a wise trick in halting him and told him that he sees this for the first time. This is a common practice. Every time, middle of the week, this happens, but the next day, he gets better and stronger. And this stopped the Mishamish Bakredish. He did not reveal this to anyone. Rabbeinu Zalf rested the next day, he did become stronger. Stronger in a sense that he did not bleed anymore. Now one time, after fasting a whole week, you have to imagine how weak a person becomes. You don't eat for one day, you're that weak. If you've seen people who are on hunger strikes, and of course the hunger strike means that they drink water or other liquids, this one is absolute fast. After a week's time, a person is extremely weak physically. That time, Rabbeinu Zalf on Friday, before Shabbos, went to the mikveh. And he selected a mikveh that was ice cold, something that very few people would dare to go into. It was colder, let's say, than the Rizal's mikveh in Tzfas. This mikveh, Rabbeinu Zalf went into, where a person would go in, he would turn blue. The average person who does have the courage to go down would get in and come right up and out immediately. Rabbeinu Zalf went to this mikveh and stayed in the mikveh for 2 full hours. 2 hours in this mikveh, which saps a person's strength, after having fasted the entire week, and had still not broken his fast. Rabbeinu Zalf was not physically strong either. No one has a clear picture of Rabbeinu Zalf, what he looked like. The Nosson Zal does write that he was of medium height and thin. Naturally thin, fasting that much. But being thin means that he was weak to a high degree. And yet he withstood all the temptations of the body's demands, held out with these fasts, and never revealed to anyone what was going on. Now, there was one time, it is known that after a fast that long, that prolonged a fast, that when the fast is over, you cannot eat a regular meal. A person must eat a very light item. It's very simple, very bland, easy to digest. This means taking generally warm milk or warm broth, and very light ones, nothing solid. There was one time, 1 week, when they forgot to prepare food for Rabbeinu Zal. He was compelled to go to the table and eat the regular, solid Shabbos meal. And this, of course, made him ill. Naturally, the drastic change from fasting to the heavy meal. Despite this, he continued the fast after the Shabbos was over. There was one time only that when the week was over, Rabbeinu Zal was that week in so poor a condition he could not walk to the mikveh, and he had someone carry him. He was carried to the mikveh. There was no question about missing the mikveh, chas v'shalom, because he was weak. He still was carried to the mikveh, went to the mikveh, and then he said, this one time that it happens because someone had found out about his fasting, and therefore this gave the satan a hold over him to be able to weaken him. Now, Rabbeinu Zal said once, when asked how come he became so great, so holy, to what would he attribute the fact that he reached a level that was so far above other tzaddikim? And those that asked, of course, implied that he must have a very holy neshama, a very holy soul given to him from heaven. Rabbeinu Zal said the reason very simply is there's no holy neshama, there's no special talents. It is simply the fact that I worked, that I sacrificed, that I struggled, and I fasted very much. I suffered a lot. To add to this, Rabbeinu Zal said once, in a way, I regret that I fasted so much, because I weakened myself to a point where I lost out on being able to serve Hashem much better if I had the strength and if I had the stamina, if I had the health, where my life would be prolonged more than having shortened itself. Which meant a message which meant a message to his Talmidim, to his students, and a message to us. If we read the Rabbeinu Zal's life story, we among us or others before us or after us, and a person might get the desire to emulate, to copy the acts of Rabbeinu Zal, to become, to a degree, like Rabbeinu Zal. Let's try to become a great tzaddik. We could not reach the greatness of Rabbeinu Zal, a tzaddik emes, at least one close to a degree. Rabbeinu Zal said not to follow what he did because a person will not succeed. It is not necessary for a person to undertake such abstention and to inflict such self-torture on oneself. This was necessary for Rabbeinu Zal himself to reach his level. But once he got there, he now was able, through his own zechus, to extend, to bestow upon his Talmidim, his zechusim, his holiness, where a person can reach higher levels, higher madrigas, without having to suffer as much as he did. For example, one thing mentioned time and again is the fact Rabbeinu Zal said that admittedly fasting is the greatest medicine for the soul. For the body, of course, it is harmful, but for the soul it is the greatest purifier. Now it would seem that a person could reach the most heavenly status through fasting alone, which may be true. However, Rabbeinu Zal said that he has revealed a secret fact that is no longer necessary. You can accomplish exactly the same as one does by fasting without abstaining from food at all. It is possible to maintain your regular diet and still gain spiritually as much as one who would fast. Rabbeinu Zal compared this to a train. train that travels on a track, and it goes for a long distance until it reaches its last stop. That last stop is the final main destination. That's the goal that a person goes on that train for. There's another train a distance away that travels a different route, but it doesn't matter because that second train gets to the same final destination too. And this means first train is fasting. The final destination is a very high peak of holiness, of purification. Take that train, take the act of fasting, and undertake the suffering and sacrifice, you reach this high peak, you reach this top madrega. But it is not necessary. The second train is called hespedidus, which means in addition to regular davening, shacharis, mincha, ma'ariv, to spend an hour a day, not 24 hours of fasting, not 6 days a week of fasting, but 1 hour a day, and sanctify, set that hour away, aside, to go into a private room, any place where you're alone, and there to speak to Hashem privately. Pour out your heart to Hashem and ask Hashem, request of Hashem that He bring you closer to Him. A person doing that will accomplish for his soul, will accomplish for his Kedusha, as much as he would if he would fast. Now this, the Rabbeinu Zohar revealed, to spare us the unpleasantness of going through fasting periods. And that is why the Nosson Zohar said that first Rabbeinu Zohar gave to his students a calendar marked off the days they should fast, aside from the regular 6 days a year that we fast ordinarily. Abinadol added to each one the number of days a year they must fast. Later on, Abinadol said, I take back those calendars, it's no longer necessary to fast, because I now have something else to replace it. You can accomplish just as much and retain your health, so you can learn better, daven better, and do mitzvahs with much more strength. This was the secret of his prejudice, which Abinadol brought to the world. Abinadol called this something very old. It's very known because, remember that Abinadol came to Eretz Yisrael. He came to the cave of Eliyahu Navi, where he stood for 40 days and 40 nights. Abinadol stood there looking, staring, and said, I could see exactly how Eliyahu Navi stood here in this cave and had his prejudice for this during this period of time. That's how he became so great. Abinadol said that now it's a very old item, known through the past generations. Even other Medishin had the same thing. And yet, he brought a new concept of his bedridus to the world. Concept where it doesn't take a Navi, it doesn't take a Tzaddik. The smallest person in the world can participate in this too. And this, Abinadol said, was the true secret of his greatness. He was more important than his fasting and other types of abstention were the tefillos, the prayers that he poured out to Hashem constantly. He would spend whole days just davening, speaking to Hashem. Rabbeinu Zohar gathered, accumulated all the types of sifrei tefillos, sforim that contained special prayers. Aside from the Tehillim, the Shari Tzion, he would take these sforim and he would daven, say, read them in private seclusion to Hashem over and over again. He knew all of them. In addition to this, there were times he would take the Sefer Tehillim. Tehillim has many sentences that don't arouse a person much, but there are some which are ones that a person can bring out much more kavanah in them. Say Hashem Hatzileni, Hashem, please want to save me. Hashem li ezrosi chusha. Hashem rush, hurry to my assistance. The person says that he begins to cry to Hashem with much more kavana in a regular sentence. Abinadol selected those passages in Tehillim that had this tremendous kavana in it, and he said all these psukim alone separately. Other things that he said in the same manner, but in addition to this, especially Abinadol spoke his own words. Aside from all these sforim of davening, he spoke his own words to Hashem. And this was the greatest key to Rabbeinu Zohar's rise. This is what is known as his prejudice. Rabbeinu Zal spoke to Hashem privately, and in speaking, there were times when he would find his mind would bring to him special words that were so beautiful that he wrote them down. He shouldn't forget them. He should repeat them again sometimes. He wrote these tefillos down, said them again and again, and always added new ones that came to his mind. Just as a person mechadesh teda, a chiddush and teda, a person mechadesh words of tefillah. And these words are very precious. When you speak to Hashem, you think of new words. I've seen the big tzaddikim, and even in our time, who count with beautiful tefillos, things that are not written or found anywhere. So when they say, Hashem, Rabbeinu Zal, the tzaddik emes said, Ein shum yish belam klal. We're not supposed to give up hope. Hashem, this goes for you too. Don't give up hope on us. If you see that I am very low, don't give up hope on me. Take me back. Have faith that I too will come back with your help. And therefore I invoke your assistance. Tefillos like these are ones that can really bring a person to a lev nishbar, a true broken heart. And this can bring a person closest to Hashem. Rabbeinu Zal revealed too that in his Bedidus, you pick out sentences from Tillim, sentences from other tefillos in your own mind. The most precious his Bedidus is when a person speaks in his own language. In this case, Rabbeinu Zal spoke Yiddish. That was his language. And he said that the tefillah in Yiddish accomplished much more than any pasuk in Hebrew. Because when you speak your own language, you feel what you're saying. Your mind and your tongue are combined to one. And this means then that if a person cannot speak Yiddish and he does not understand Hebrew and his language is English or French or Russian or any language in the world, that language is better to daven in than any other pasuk or any other language. Because Hashem understands all languages, Hashem wants the heart of a person, the kavana. And if you can speak with much more kavana in your own language is called, that language in tefillah is called Lashon Kodesh. If you speak English to Hashem in tefillah, it's not English, it's Lashon Kodesh. And the Saint Rabbeinu Zal adds, if you speak Lashon Kodesh or Hebrew, in Hebrew you speak Lashon Hara, that's not Lashon Kodesh, that's Tumah. So it's not the language, it's the words that you say. If you say words of tefillah in English that come straight from the heart, that's the holiest language that exists. And this is what Rabbeinu Zal considered the top method of coming close to Hashem, which is the goal of a Jew. A person was sent to this world on a mission. Zayin HaKadosh says that it started with Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon was told, if you eat from this tree of wisdom, you will die. That day you will die. And that day, of course, meant within the realm, within the period of his life, which was 1,000 years. It meant that at the end of 1,000 years, he would die instantly instead of living forever, as was intended at first. So he died at the end of that day. Of course, he sacrificed 70 years of his life, gave it to King David, whose neshama had no years. And as soon as the 930 years were over, on his birthday, Adam HaRishon was nostalgic. What did he die for? What was the purpose of this death? Where did he go to? The purpose was, Hashem said to Adam HaRishon, this is a message for you and for all your descendants, for all generations to come. You are now in Gan Eden. I am driving you out. I'm expelling you from Gan Eden. You know where you came from. Your goal should be to come back here. Now, as much as you stay on earth, you're driven out for a period of one day, which means 930 years. During that 930 years, you have to devote yourself to the task of being worthy of coming back to the place you came from. The same thing applies with every single soul. Every person who's alive today, that many years ago, he was in heaven. His soul was there. The soul was handed into this body, sent out to this world against its will. The soul being in heaven doesn't want to come down to earth, but against its will it was sent out, and it was informed, it was taught, it was ordered. Go down to earth and come back at the end of the time that's bequeathed to you and see that you come back worthy of then staying here, not being sent out again. That's the mission of every Jew in life, and this is the reason why always the tefillah, the Yisbeidus, the craving of the neshama in tefillah should be, Hashem, bring us close to you. Hashiveinu ovinu l'sadasecha, return us to your Torah, that's your word. V'kodaveinu ma'akeinu l'avedasecha, bring us close to serve you. Closer we are to you, the better we can serve you. And remove all these obstacles that exist. Obstacles can be in any form whatsoever. They can be in form of difficulty in earning a living. A person wastes his time against his will, having to go out to work, earn money to support a family. A person loses time by being sick. It's an obstacle to doing mitzvahs. The worst obstacle, of course, is, the Gemara says, the Benazal stresses, the worst obstacle is another human being who tries to dissuade him, to discourage him, to belittle his actions, to scoff, to sneer at his intentions of purity, and to tell him how wonderful life is, how short life is, take advantage of this life, look at what you're missing by confining yourself to Avodah. And this is the thing where a person falls into this glaze, this mirage, where he imagines that life here is worth something, it is good, and as time goes by, he's about to return, to go back to his origin, he realizes then that these years that he had the opportunity to accumulate mitzvahs, to accumulate food for this long trip, he had lost out on that, and then it's too late. Chas v'shalom. So this is the message: a person should constantly awaken himself, awaken, and realize that the talk that you hear about the wonders of this world are only the words of the satan. They are meant to blind you to the truth of your mission in life. And this person can realize is best through his business. Rabbein Azal stated very clearly that there is nothing that exists on heaven or earth, or ever has existed, that can help a person spiritually as much as his bedrus. Be 1 hour a day. More than studying Torah, more than doing any other mitzvahs. Now, proof, concrete proof, that this is the most powerful, the most potent medicine spiritually, is the fact that it is known that whatever is holier, whatever is higher and greater, the more effort the satan puts in to destroy that or to stop that. There is nothing that a person would do which will have a greater obstacle than spending this 1 hour on his business. Try to go out and raise money for tzedakah. You'll find you have no time, you have no means, you're discouraged. Try to sit down for a full hour and learn a Blat Gemara. Good. Talmud Tedek Neged Kula. Try to spend a whole hour in doing pure mitzvahs. You'll find that the satan is against you. But if you want to get that done, you want to learn for an hour Gemara, very easily, without a block at all, say to the satan, I'm going into my room to have his bitterness for 1 hour. Your mind, the satan will say, go sit down and learn. I won't bother you. Anything but his bitterness. You'll find that you try to attempt an hour of his bitterness. It's the most difficult thing that exists. Why is it that not 1 hour, but 2 hours of TV is so easy? There's no effort there at all. No matter what it is, even a bad program. It's as simple as can be. You'll never find the Yitzhahara, the Satan, there to tell you it's too good or it's too bad, you have no time. This, you'll find yourself drawn to it without any block, any mania whatsoever. But Lahabdu, try to go to this bitterness, you're suddenly very tired, or you cannot concentrate, or you have other things to do, or you're just plain sleepy. Or you definitely cannot find the time. It's impossible. You talk to yourself, I must have the hour now, I can't find the time. You sit down, you say, it's too bad. You turn the TV on, and the next 3 hours, you can't find the time. It's gone. And the reason is, of course, because this is the highest possible Kedusha that exists. Therefore, the greatest effort on the part of these supernatural beings, the Satan and all his cohorts, will leave the whole world go. Do as you please. We have somebody that's about to say his bitterness. We got to get after him. But if a person wants to, he can overcome. he can vanquish the Satan, vanquish the Yetzirah, and succeed in his prayers. Rabbeinu Zohar found many times in his experience, in his struggle to maintain himself spiritually, remember the fact that he was very young. His friends, young boys, went out, ran, played games, played ball, other types of games. They were in a sense children, very active, and they drew him also. They wanted to draw him. So the Rabbeinu Zohar found that he had to work very hard to overcome this temptation through the drawing power of his friends, the boys whom he knew well. And he worked hard, he sacrificed these pleasures, and continued on his avodah, his service. There were times that despite this, he felt that he was not succeeding. He felt that he was making such sacrifices, working so hard, pouring out his heart, rivers of tears, crying constantly, and he felt in his mind that instead of being brought closer to Hashem, he was being pushed aside, as though Kaviyachal Hashem was pushing away, I don't want you. He was being repelled, repulsed. And this brought him to a sense of frustration, to a sense of practically giving up hope. And he realized that this giving up hope and this frustration was exactly what the Satan wanted. So he said to the Satan, if you are such a smart aleck, I'm more stubborn than you. If I am repulsed, if I'm driven out completely, I will still maintain my insistence and my stubbornness to serve Hashem. And this is what maintained, this is what kept Rabbeinu Zohar going, striving, struggling, falling, getting up and continuing on further, going up constantly. Rabbeinu Zohar's habits as a child too were very simple ones, because after all this learning and davening, naturally Rabbeinu Zohar's mind became elevated to a point that could equal and of course surpass the wisest and most learned sages on earth. That's understood. You know, Rabbeinu Zohar at the age of 13 already was far above any tzaddik on earth, and any lamdan too. He was more learned than the greatest lamdan out. Rabbeinu Zohar had achieved wisdom. This wisdom consisted of every type of wisdom that existed. For example, mathematics, the most advanced mathematics that existed in the world, advanced calculus and so on, any algebraic type of mathematics was known by Rabbeinu Zohar completely. All the different types of music, musical notes, astronomy, and so on. Rabbeinu Zohar had all this just by learning Torah itself, gave him this wisdom. Now, Rabbeinu Zohar was so wise, and with this wisdom, he arrived at the most important knowledge that existed. The knowledge how to serve Hashem. Rabbeinu Zohar found, he revealed this to us, that a person who becomes wiser and wiser could chas v'shalom become further and further away from Hashem. Not just because of gaiva chas v'shalom, but because he would begin to work out special formulas and how to serve Hashem deeper or better. And this is the greatest mistake possible. Rabbeinu Zohar said, when he got to the highest peak of wisdom, he then learned conclusively that the best way to serve Hashem is in the simplest form possible. The way a child would serve Hashem, with no ulterior thought in mind whatsoever. As a child, Rabbeinu Zohar did this. The story is told here when Rabbeinu Zohar went to shul. They had in the shul, as they have in most shuls, a little box on the wall. You drop inside coins for tzedakah, for charity. The box is marked Matam Besesa. That means it is given without the knowledge of the person who receives it. And the person who gives doesn't know he gives it to is the highest type of tzedakah. There's no credit for it at all. That is no, you do not receive any honor for it. The mitzvah is the highest possible, bigger than if you know who you give it to. This mitzvah of tzedakah, matan b'seisa, Rabbeinu Zohar wanted very strongly, very much. He had some money of his own. He had large denominations, let's say dollar bills. He changed his dollar bills to pennies. He took this load of pennies with him. He brought it to this box. He was all alone in the shul. And he took out a sefer which says, L'shem yichud kutshu b'richu shchinte, where the Rizal says, before every mitzvah you do the mitzvah for the sake of bringing the Shekhinah back to Hashem, to combine, to unite Hashem and the Shekhinah, Spirit of Hashem, which brings about the coming of Moshiach, brings about the redemption, the Gula. The purpose of a mitzvah should be, every mitzvah we say before tzitzis and tefillin, L'shem yichud kutshu b'richu shchinte, this L'shem yichud before doing any mitzvah at all, which gives my nukmah to the Shekhinah, the unity, the union of Hashem and the Shekhinah. He said this tefillah with all the kavanah he could muster up. He's about to perform a major mitzvah, giving tzedakah for seiser, hiddenly. He took one penny, put it into the kupa, the box, and then he walked away. He was finished. He just closed his mind to it, and then suddenly he said, I can do it again. He walked back. He said the same tefillah again. I'm doing this for the sake of the mitzvah of yichud kutshu b'richu shchinte. He put the penny in tzedakah, and that was it. He walked away again. This way, very simply, the desire was so strong to do mitzvahs, as many as possible. He could do 300 mitzvahs with $3. That's why he did this, but in the simplest form, just as a plain, ordinary child would do. And this simple manner of serving Hashem was so pure, the man knows it much more than a person who goes into the deep secrets of Kabbalah, or special methods in serving Hashem. This is what is meant as true Avodas Hashem. This is what the Ben Azal realized through his great wisdom. The greatest wisdom possible is to serve Hashem with the greatest simplicity. This, of course, means for every single Jew to be zechut to this pshitus, this simplicity. And each Jew should learn from this that the worst thing that could happen to him, his greatest downfall would be if he considers himself too low. To serve Hashem takes only a very high person. Must be a very learned person, and one who is very pure, one who doesn't do any sins. How can I serve Hashem? How can I come before Hashem and ask Hashem to help me serve Him if I don't learn Torah, I don't do mitzvahs, I commit sins every day that I'm aware of, I do so much wrong? What is my service to Hashem worth? Zero. How can I dare to come to Hashem and say, let me serve you? How can I do a mitzvah like this, give tzedakah with the intention of bringing the Shekhinah back to Hashem? This is too high for me. It's not fit for me. This is fit for greater people. This is the greatest error a person can make, because this is the poisonous bite of the snake. The first original snake, the first serpent in Gan Eden, who brought death to the world, gave this poisonous bite to Adam and Chava, where he brought Yish to them. Yish means to give up hope, a person to feel himself too far gone, beyond any assistance, beyond any help. This Rabbeinu Zal warned about. Beware of this Yish, the simple way of serving Hashem. Simple means that an ordinary person, very ordinary, not learned, and not a tzaddik, and not one who spend devotes his time to purity, to holiness, very simple, I spend a few minutes a day in doing something good, but those few minutes I do it with simple desire to serve Hashem. I too can serve Hashem as well as the biggest tzaddik in the world, because I mean it sincerely, simply and sincerely. And this is chaskus. Rabbeinu Zal strengthened a person who was so far gone in his own mind. This is chaskus, is why Rabbeinu Zal is called the greatest miracle person ever. Because it means that he takes a person who considers himself gone or dead, a person who is spiritually dead, and to revive this person, to bring him back to life, we mentioned this is why Rabbeinu Zal's name is Begimatria Mechaya Mason. Rabbeinu Zal brings back dead souls to life. He brings a new life into them, and this person who thought himself dead begins to rise and become stronger and stronger. There were many people who were literally dead spiritually, and they became the biggest tzaddikim in the world when they followed Rabbeinu Zal's advice. But this advice is for every simple person, even in our generation when people are so low, and we are so far gone from, so far separated from the life of Kiddush, of these tzaddikim, we have to know that our service is precious, extremely precious. In fact, Rabbeinu Zal once mentioned to Rav Nosson Zal that the best advice I can give you is to reveal what the Arizal said to his disciple, Rav Chaim Vital Zal. Chaim Vital Zal felt very badly about the fact that the Arizal said that his main purpose for coming to this world was to teach Rav Chaim Vital Zal. Rav Chaim Vital Zal said, I don't see it, I don't understand it, I cannot accept it because I know that I am very low, very low. And I'm nothing, I'm not worthy of this. I refuse to accept such words, such praise. And he said to the Arizal, in all due respect, I ask, how can you compare me to Rabbi Akiva? Arizal said that he was the Gilgal Rabbi Akiva. How compare one so low? What was that, Rabbi Akiva? How can you compare what I do to what the Gemara says about Rabbi Akiva, what he did? His sacrifices are far above and beyond me. Arizal replied, true. But there's one thing you're not aware of, and that is that that was close to 2,000 years ago. As time went by, we have become so far estranged from heaven, from Hashem, that because we are far away, therefore every little mitzvah we do counts manyfold, many times as much. So that in those days, a person, in order to become great, had to make the greatest sacrifices in the world. Had to be a tzaddik that's far above and beyond our greatest imagination. Today, a Jew doing a small mitzvah gets the same credit as in those days, a Jew fasting for a week. That's how precious mitzvahs are today. This Rabbeinu Zal told him, listen, Zal, that today you can become an ordinary person today by serving Hashem, doing a small mitzvah, should not belittle it, because picture himself, 2,000 years ago, it'll be the same as then, sitting a whole week and learning Torah. These words of Ischaskus, this encouragement, is what helped so many people who had fallen, who had given up hope on themselves, to return, to come back to Hashem. How fortunate are we to know of such a mighty light, the Eid HaEidus, the light of all lights, the Tzaddik Emes Rabbeinu Zal. And this is why we stress again that the Zechus of coming to Rabbeinu Zal's Hilula is one that should not be should not forego it for anything in existence. Rabbeinu Zal said too, one more item of advice, that if a person wants to serve Hashem, he really wants to return. How? By finally settle down, spend a day, study Torah, each day study Torah, daven, spedidus, tefillah, mitzvahs. But it's very hard for a person who's used to going out and playing and having fun and having a good time. How do you change your way of life? It's practically impossible. Decide right now that from now on, forget about the outside world, you're going to sit down here on your house and all day long sit and study Torah and say tehillim and do mitzvahs. Spite it is, picture that. Can you do that for the rest of your life? Nobody will say it's possible. But there is a method that could be done, could be used by any person at all. And you must admit that if you decided to yourself, make a deal, get credit for being the biggest tzaddik in the world if you give up only one day of your life. Sacrifice like Yom Kippur. One day, set aside that day for Torah and Tefillah and nothing else. After that day is over, go back to whatever you want to do. That any person could do. No matter how wild he is, no matter how difficult it is to settle down, he could do it for one day. Anyway, the advice is, in the morning, say to yourself, I'm going to sacrifice one day only for the sake of Hashem, not one minute more. When this day is over, I'm free. That he could do. At the end of that day, it's finished. Next morning, say to yourself, well, only one day and that's it. Each day, start anew, brand new, whether it's the whole day, or whether it's giving an hour that day for expeditus, or 2 hours for learning Torah. Each day say to yourself, to spend a whole hour for Hashem's sake, that's too much every day. But one day I can do it. Each day you say to just that one day alone, without a promise for the next day, you'll find it could be done. Each person can accomplish through that method of becoming in the habit of serving Hashem for a number of minutes or hours each day, and slowly adding to it without feeling its effects, until he becomes a true Eved Hashem, one who serves Hashem. This is the advice, the Eitzah Teva, that the Rebbeinu Zohar gave to us. We should be zecher to accept these words of Rebbeinu Zohar with true heart, true intentions, and above all else, is the one word that is the guide to everything, and that is Emunah, true faith in the Tzaddik Emes. You cannot have one without the other. You must have faith in Hashem and the Tzaddik Emes. One who has faith in the Tzaddik Emes is the key to becoming literally part of that Tzaddik Emes. The key to being able to be zechet, to accept and follow the advice of the Tzaddik Emes. We should be zechet to that true Emunah, and the source of that Emunah, the way the Shuri Reish Emunah, the Emunah should bring us to Umanah, to Uman, and to the Gula Shleim of Meheda, Amen, V'Yamein.